outputs and a roadmap on how we might go forward. Today we're joined by real experts and people who labor in the field and have real expertise in this area. Jenny Wagner joins us. She's an IBM project executive for the last 10 years, had public sector experience in Iowa before that, and is expert in how you bring technology to the health information system, and we look forward to her speaking. Why don't we start, Jenny, and then I'll introduce each panelist as we go along.
Certainly. It's a pleasure to be here today and to present on such an important topic about local, regional, state, and national healthcare exchanges. Healthcare in the year 2015, if we don't find a path to successful transformation, that's the point in time at which we run out of funding, literally, at the federal level. The current path will simply be unsustainable by that point in time. I don't need to tell you that the United States spends more than money in any other country in the world, and yet we rank 37th in overall health system performance as ranked by the World Health Organization. Something is wrong. We face a transformational challenge, and we must expand the current focus. We know that, from episodic care and paying for episodic care to the long-term prediction and prevention of illness and to managing chronic disease, paying for quality of care. We face a transformation. You each face a transformation like that in your states. We've got to work with consumer behaviors that have to be transformed. And then we face the societal expectations of what is the right. And healthcare is a societal right. You just spoke about the underprivileged and making sure that we don't leave anyone behind. The good news is that the government's acknowledging the crisis, and a path is evolving forward, as evidenced by every one of you in your states, and you are leaders, I know that, in each of your states. We are seeing that strong leadership and political power. The answer to connecting healthcare stakeholders, really, and moving the path forward through government, is really through health information exchange. And so what I will talk to you about today is nationwide health information networking and basically the effort from HHS and the Office of the National Coordinator and how that relates to the state efforts. If we go back to the history of a nationwide health information network, it really goes all the way back to 1996 when HIPAA legislation was enacted that began to raise our attention about sharing personal health information. And that was furthered in 2004 when President Bush endorsed electronic health records for all citizens by the year 2014, 1 year short of the goal here. In 2004, in July, he appointed Dr. David Brailer as the first Office of the National Coordinator for Health Information Technology, and Dr. Brailer developed the framework for strategic action. So I'll be talking a little bit more about that in just a few moments. But by November of 2005, we began to see the first awards that went out to national vendors such as ourselves. That began to develop an architecture that would connect together various health information exchanges with no rip and replace and capitalizing upon systems that are already there so we don't literally break the system. By January of 2007, we were very pleased to be a part of the NIN architecture prototype demonstrations that spent basically a whole afternoon showing that disparate health information providers, hospitals, health systems, and health information exchanges could be connected at a national level. By September of this year, 2007, there will be the second round of awards for NIN implementations that will be at the state and regional levels, and we'll see another step forward. If you look at Dr. Brailer's framework, what you see is something that's very interesting. I've never seen the federal government move so fast in 40 months. When we begin to look at four areas of his basic framework, we see in the blue everything that already was adopted in phase one of the NIN architectural framework, and in the red, we see those that are being adopted by phase two, and in black is yet to come. But a lot of progress has already been made, as all of you know. We began to question, what is an HIE? What is a health information exchange? We recognize that there are a lot of different stakeholders, and eventually all stakeholders need to connect to the network and be able to have interoperability, true interoperability between the systems. But we recognize that health information exchanges can be a lot of things. They can be very formal and tightly coupled, as you tend to see through IPAs. They can be informal and loosely affiliated when we see community hospitals joining together and a disparate group of health information stakeholders, such as laboratories, begin to join in there, each with their own strategies and needs and requirements. It could be a coalition of smaller institutions, larger institutions, healthcare stakeholders. They could even be payer-driven, as we see those efforts in some states. And it could be employer-driven, as we see through LeapFrog, major efforts from major employers coming forward and saying we've got to pay for quality rather than paying for episodes. So the question is how those health information exchanges can come together and how they can join together to play in a nationwide network. We looked at it from the standpoint of an organization, a vendor coming together and looking at how do you interconnect health information exchanges. And we recognize that they're very differing architectures, and we need to work with those architectures that are already in existence in communities, because healthcare is really a community delivered benefit, really. So you can have very unique features. In community one, you might see something where they already have a pay-for-performance model. They may have information that's provided by a portal, a central repository, a centralized infrastructure, and yet you might be also needing to connect to community two that's very decentralized. They may have a weak governance model, no central repository, but they need a centralized security model to protect for privacy of information. And yet community three may be something that's very different altogether, and in fact could be a payer model or it could be an employer-driven model. It really doesn't matter. The point is that all three of those architectures and many, many others have to come together and have to work together, and we have to have interoperability across. So if you begin to look at the architecture, the project guiding principles, in developing an architecture, we looked at what do we have to have in place and what has to be the underpinning to do that. So the first one was we want it to be community-centric. Healthcare is community-driven, but we need to be able to normalize and store clinical data within the community, not move it. Physicians and hospitals do not want to let go of that information, and for very, very good reason. So therefore, we need to respect that, and yet we need to develop a community hub that provides a master person index, a document locator service, and yet secures it and provides support services. The community hub would have to be the gateway to other communities. So basically, all the information coming together when you need to move information, for instance, it's in my case where I moved nationwide this past year, wanted to move information from about a half a dozen doctors to another doctor. Guess what? Couldn't do it. But through a community hub mechanism, you could do it and pass that information and pass it securely. The second thing is we want to drive and conform to standards, not only technology standards, but also healthcare industry standards that are already in place and operating very, very well. So it would need to be an instantiation of the IHE interoperability framework that's already been endorsed by such organizations as HIMSS, Health Information Management Systems Society, a large organization, the largest one in the country. In fact, we would need to record clinical events stored through HL7 or hospital level 7 and comply with CDA or clinical document architecture documents. And finally, we'd have to have cross-community search and retrieval of documents so that we could arrive at the longitudinal patient record. We'd need to provide security and privacy without sacrificing the usability of that same data for research purposes. By de-identifying large amounts of data, we could move the research process forward very rapidly and begin to reduce that 17-year lag between bench to bedside. That is unacceptable in this day and age when it need not be there. And the last one is that it need to be practical, scalable, cost-effective, and performance would be critical to adoption, since you really can't control the flow of information once that system gets in place. You don't know where the peaks and valleys are. So if we look forward, let's fast forward now and talk about the 2007 NIN pilot implementations that are coming forward in September. The underlying premise is that we now are moving forward away from a vendor environment into health information exchanges. All the awards will be health information exchanges at the state or regional level. They can't go to vendors anymore. It'll be a network of networks crossing them together and being able to tie them together and being able to connect, interconnect, and leverage the work that was done in the previous round of NIN funding. So we're interconnecting state and regional and non-geographic health information exchanges now and beginning to leverage that NIN architecture and the work products. But this time, instead of three use cases, as we saw last year for electronic health records, personal health records, and biosurveillance are basically public health kinds of networking. We now see 7, and so we're beginning to add some use cases this year for consumer access to information, medication reconciliation, emergency responders, and quality. We'll focus on the interfaces this year and basically begin to link not only health information service providers that can connect you to a nationwide network, but also to linking HIE to HIE and so forth. And we begin to think about linking government health systems. While the ones that I have listed basically on the slide are federal, they can also be state. And in fact, what we're seeing with many, many states in the RFIs and the RFPs that are coming out now are to link the critical state systems as well, for instance, for Medicaid eligibility, and to receive an additional level of interoperability. And it has to be a coalition of awardees. I've also listed there and kind of grayed them out the areas that we see AHIC, or the American Health Information Community, addressing this year. So those are items that are in the future, one of those being bench to bedside, back to bench, incorporate clinical research, and second is the genetic profile into the personal health information of each individual patient for personalized treatment. What we looked at is that the HIE really becomes a broker for the community. So if you focus on the yellow box that's at the bottom, this is what we're here to talk about today, right? State and local government, specifically state government, linking HIEs, or basically regional health information exchanges together, link them together at the state level so you can pass from one community to another, and then use the state basically as the linkage, the same gateway, if you will. It can be the same architecture, in fact, that links to outside to other states, passes state to state, or even can pass eventually, if you begin to think about such agencies such as CMS for Medicare and Medicaid, being able to approach. The thing here that's interesting to note is that the HIEs can link together to an NHIE or a nationwide health information exchange gateway as well that will link to the NIN. HIEs could connect to more than one NHIE, and more than one NHIE could connect to the NIN. So put it all together. And the idea is to focus on the core services, leaving the edge functionality out within the HIE and within the community where it's working very well today. So what are we seeing from the federal and the state efforts? We're certainly seeing the federal efforts from HHS and the Office of the National Coordinator. We're seeing 15 state awards that should go out, or state and regional awards should go out on September 30th of this year. But we also see an effort from CDC, the Centers for Disease Control, basically making similar awards to HIEs that can be state and regional awards, and that is for a public health network to put that in place and to begin to capture information to stop the flow of infectious disease across geographies, but also from the standpoint of biosurveillance, bioterrorism, that kind of thing, also from the standpoint of natural disasters such as we saw with Katrina. We're also now seeing efforts from the military health service as they begin to connect to, for instance, the systems between military health service and the VA. There's no connectivity today. We need that interoperability, but especially as our vets return from Iraq and Afghanistan, we need to be able to connect to the community healthcare systems and the community HIEs. That effort is now beginning to look forward. The state activity, I said X number of states with task forces because we're losing track of the number. The majority of states now have task forces that are functioning, as does every member on this panel that's here today. The states that are funded by their legislatures, state grants such as we see in New York and here in Michigan to start electronic health records. I'm receiving RFIs and RFPs as many as 3 a day now from various states or regional efforts coming forward. We see efforts like the Bridges to Excellence program, employers banding together and saying, we want to pay for quality, and we have self-insured populations, we want to drop the cost of health care, and they actually are beginning to be quite successful at doing this. Pilot programs that are going on in wellness and disease management, payment mechanisms, quality indicators, and so forth. Other grants that are coming forward, like from ARC and Robert Wood Johnson, and the funding that is available now is really pretty interesting. We're beginning to see real dollars when you put it together and begin to think how you can leverage the intellectual capital that you gain from first one program and then move it to the next. The infrastructure was put in place for one program, but now can be leveraged across many others, and the state grants that are happening. There are many program considerations that affect the cost in putting an HIE together and the self-sustainability of that network. The decisions that you make very early on in the process and the architecture that you put together can really affect how you can leverage and how you can use that information later. So it's very, very important that you do that on the front end. The question is, 2015, are we going to get there in time? And the question, of course, is answered by we must. And so we've got to find ways to do that, both at the federal level, but within each state coming together at the nationwide level. Not national, implied run by the federal government, but nationwide, indicating cooperative and collaborative across all of us working together, across the states working together. We can capitalize on things, we can capitalize on the drivers, but we've also got to keep our eye on the fact that there are inhibitors out there that are keeping us from moving forward. So with that, I just want to thank you for the opportunity to present in front of you and turn it over to my colleagues here.